With Montana News, I'm Freddie Monatis. Medical marijuana advocates won a victory in court today. A Helena judge gave dispensaries the okay to start serving more than three patients immediately in recognition of a ballot measure that passed November 8th. Corin Cates Carney reports.
A previous court ruling in August effectively shut down Montana's medical marijuana dispensaries by saying they could only serve a maximum of three patients each. When Montanans passed medical marijuana reform on Election Day, a typo in the ballot initiative delayed providers from expanding the number of patients they could carry until the end of next June. Soon after I-182 passed, the Montana Cannabis Industry Association asked a judge to remove the three-patient limit immediately, which was the initiative's original intent. The industry spokesperson, Kate Haleva, says Wednesday's ruling will allow dispensaries across the state to reopen.
The immediate effect is restoring access, allowing physicians to do their jobs, allowing patients to get their referral and get back on the program.
Other aspects of the medical marijuana reform will go into effect in the end of June of next year. Haleva says that will give Montana's Department of Health and Human Services time to develop a plan for implementing other sections of the new medical marijuana program. Until then, Haleva says the department will likely be flooded with paperwork of patients trying to regain access. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
The Department of Public Health and Human Services announced today that there have been three times the number of norovirus outbreaks usually reported during this time of year. Outbreaks of the gastrointestinal ailment have occurred in Cascade, Flathead, Rosebud, Sanders, Valley, and Yellowstone counties. Montana lawmakers got a financial checkup on state pensions yesterday. After the pension system was reformed in 2013, officials with Montana Public Employees Retirement Board say most pension plans are improving. Corin Cates Carney reports.
During the final meeting of the Legislative Finance Committee this year, officials overseeing pension plans for the state, local governments, and school workers said the plans are on their way to being fully funded. Finance Committee Chairman John Sesso, a Democrat from Butte, says work in the 2013 legislative session helped get the plans back on track.
It was good to see that the fruits of that legislation has resulted in both the major systems, the PERS and the TRS, getting much more healthy.
The 2013 legislature approved additional state money for the pensions and increased employers' and employees' contributions to the funds. Officials with the Montana Public Employee Retirement Administration said funding for all pension systems are increasing, except for sheriffs and game wardens. While funding for those pensions hasn't increased, officials say those funds are stable. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
The National Park Service says a little more than 30,000 people visited Glacier last month, boosting the park's annual attendance to more than 2.8 million visitors for the first time. The Flathead Beacon reports unseasonably dry and warm conditions last month caused a 58% attendance spike from 2015, making it the busiest November the park has seen since 1985. Westside entrances are still open to the park and are expected to see more visitors. This is the third year of record attendance in the park. The former president of a regional restaurant group has denied four federal charges, including allegations that he made fraudulent statements in applying for a $1.1 million in loans for the struggling business. Kenneth Hatzenbeller of Great Falls pleaded not guilty on November 29 to two counts of bank fraud, one count of money laundering, and one count of false oath in a bankruptcy proceeding. His trial is set for February 6 before U.S. District Judge Brian Morris in Great Falls. The superintendent of CJI Schools and his wife were found dead at a residence in Chester. Liberty County Sheriff Doug Riggin says the bodies of 47-year-old Francis Labounty and 42-year-old Tanya Labounty were found yesterday at about 11:30 a.m. Both suffered gunshot wounds to the head. Riggin said Tanya Labounty had obtained an order of protection and was living apart from her husband since December 1st, when he was arrested following a domestic disturbance. The bodies were found at Tanya's residence. A .357 revolver was recovered at the scene. Riggin did not release the manner of death pending complete autopsy reports, but he has said that the public is not in danger. This was Labounty's first year at CJI Schools. He was previously the superintendent at Brockton. Kalispell City Council unanimously approved two new police officers at a time of growing crime rates. The Daily Interlake reports Police Chief Roger Nassett requested the two new positions at a city council meeting in November. According to a report Nassett presented to the council, crime calls have spiked about 4,000 higher than in 2012 in the area. One position will be a new night shift and the other will be a canine unit. NACIT has already found options to acquire a dog for the canine unit. California state wildlife officials say they won't seek to strip gray wolves of their protections once the rebounding population hits a critical mass. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife yesterday published its plan for managing wolves. California's gray wolves were killed off in the 1920s, but started returning from Oregon in 2011, prompting state officials to draw up its plan. It drops earlier language directing officials to remove protections under the California's Endangered Species Act once their population hits 50. Hunting and livestock groups oppose the wolf's return, saying the predator will kill valuable deer, sheep, and cattle. Amaroke Weiss, a wolf advocate, praises the plan. She says it's too early in the wolf's return to start considering removing protections for the iconic animal. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Freddie Monatis.